Well, here we are. It's Will. Sean and Jason aren't here yet, but I just want to say, don't be naughty on this all new smart list.
Smart.
You know what, though? Being in London, thank you. That's where I'm at. Yes. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, Sean's got material.
No, I don't.
So listener, let's catch you up. Sean is in London doing another run of Goodnight Oscar. What a production.
Thank you for bringing it back.
Thank you for Europe. This is much more convenient for me and my travels.
Goodnight, London.
Good night, London.
Buonasera.
No, no, the
Buonasera, Oscar.
No, the by the way, I'm looking at my window at Westminster Abbey. Can you believe that? Isn't that
Are
wild?
You really? You've got yourself a nice place there, huh? Can you show me my room? Listener, I'm about to live with Sean.
You're going to go stay with those guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember how you used to do that when you would travel with Sean and go to all these wonderful places around the planet? Well, I get to do one now.
You know what's so funny? When I heard that, I actually thought about your sort of crappy little voice being sad about that and then how that you were going to be excited that you were going to stay with Sean.
Yeah, so. I love
it's
it.
No Istanbul, but it'll do. Yeah.
No, it's better.
Or Venice.
Or Venice. Oh, well, that's a tight second. Yeah. Both of them.
But wait, Shawnee, it's going well so far. Are you remembering to look right when you step off the curb?
Isn't that wild? I really am trying to get... And by the way, you know the other thing? When you're walking on a sidewalk, I have to go to the left.
No,
right?
You don't. Like
gonna,
what are you
If you're
going to
pass
about?
Somebody.
No.
Yeah, because they're hoping you do that.
Are they?
I'm telling you.
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you because I lean to the right and they're like, and then they lean to the right and then I lean to the right. They keep going to the right.
You've been leaning right for years, though. I think you and Will are going to jump parties on me soon.
But you know that, like, you walk around London and you're like, wow, I get why J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter. Like, it's so magical. Like, it's incredible here.
I know, I do love that place.
It's incredible. And people that live here that I talk to, they're like,
just kidding,
yeah,
Rowling?
You know, what's that?
Just kidding, Rowling. Is that what?
Just
it
kidding,
is?
Rowling. JK.
Will, you've been to England, right? Do you like Europe? Do you like England, London in particular? Here he comes.
Don't try to bait me. Don't try to. It was a classic bait, man. Don't try to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Willie, why don't you come out? Why don't you come out?
Why don't
out?
You just move there? I don't know why you got yourself.
I am going to come out, Sean. I made a plan this morning. Mm-hmm. We're going to come see your play in August. I'm not going to... We're going to go over the dates. I'm coming. Bradley and I are coming in Chappie.
That's, no way. That's so nice. By the way, you can...
You guys doing some reshoots?
Tons, no. We're doing reshoots, yeah. We have tons of room, Willie. You can stay with us if you want.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's unbelievably beautiful.
Well, really? that I'm very excited for. But I hear you got there and it was in kind of shabby shape. You had to bring in a deep clean company.
Yeah, when we got to this place that we got... No. Not deep clean, but, you know, it has an elevator because it's an old townhouse.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, the elevator broke down.
No, you were in it again? Man.
No, I wasn't in it this time. But I keep a bottle of Valium in it.
You know what? Can I just say something?
It might be user error at this point.
Can I just say something?
It might be what?
User error. I think it's your fault or Scotty's fault.
Yeah, sure.
This is important to say at this juncture, and it which is... Because just in the times we live in, and I think that for you to be able to speak so openly and so bravely and so relatably about the shabby shape of the elevator in your townhouse in London.
Yeah, this is the second dwelling you've been in with an elevator. I've never been in a place with an elevator.
Oh, but I'm renting it. I don't own it. But it's really beautiful. But it's, so I keep a bottle of Valium in the corner in case it goes. But I did my exposure therapy.
You don't need a full bottle. Why don't you just keep one in your pocket?
Well, no.
Keep a bottle of Valium in the elevator?
In the elevator in case it shuts down and I have to wait for the repair guy and I don't go crazy. So I'm just, I need, you know.
Why don't you just put a gun in there. Put a gun in there and then just put it deep into your fucking mouth.
Wait a second. First of all, your fucking therapist needs to be arrested because that's absurd.
No, I'm telling you because if something goes wrong and you're stuck in there for an hour while the guy gets there, I don't want to go crazy. I just want to like chill out.
Well, that ship has passed.
Well, why don't you look within, man?
I did. So I did exposure therapy and it's kind of working.
What? Just get on the tube and just flash your jacket open?
Yeah, yeah, it's really working.
What does that mean, exposure therapy?
So it's really fascinating. You like, you know, you sit there with your palms up and your eyes closed. And you have to repeat over and over a million times. You have to go, I'm walking down the hall. I see a small elevator and I step inside. I'm walking down the hall. I see a small elevator. I step inside. And you say that over and over and over again, and like, you know, for like 20 minutes. And your therapist will check in every 2 minutes and say, where's your anxiety level? And it goes from 10 to 8 to 7, you know, to 3 to 2 to 1 until you become bored with it. Then you move on to, I'm walking down the hall, I step into an elevator, and then the doors close. I'm walking down the hall, I step into the elevator, and the doors close. And you just try to feel what that feels like over and over again. And it fucking works.
And what are they charging you an hour for this?
I don't remember.
Because I used to do this in elementary school. When I would screw up, they'd make me write stuff on a chalkboard over and over and over
again. Like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, it's called sentences or whatever.
Hey, you know what? You know what else works, Sean? Is nutting up.
Yeah, it's just called developing the backbone and the thicker skin and just getting older. You know,
I mean, you've been through a lot in your life, and you are tough. I mean it. Like, you know how to deal with a lot of stuff, and you got your head on your shoulders. Like,
yeah, but it's claustrophobia. I mean, if you got stuck in that elevator that I got stuck in, you would have gone fucking bananas.
Will, what's your plan today? Will, what's your plan today out there in the Hamptons?
My plan is pretty, it's a little overcast and rainy. I was up super early, going over stuff with our friend, BC and,
going over stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the edit. He's working on the edit, right? How's stuff looking?
It's looking pretty good. So we're doing that this morning early. I was up like 5 cause he's in Europe. And then,
aren't you close to getting a cut that you like?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a work in progress. He's, you know, working away on it.
Has he shown you his director's cut yet?
There's no director's cut yet. No.
Okay.
But, and then, you know, did my usual thing.
Are you happy with your performance that you've seen?
I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm happy with watching his performance. It's pretty great.
I mean, it's something like you're starting to see yourself and in its context with the one scene stuck next to another scene, next to another scene. Like, it's a scary thing. Like, how's it starting to feel? Good?
I think that we have a movie. I'll say that. Yeah, like, you've been doing it a lot longer than I have, JB. You know how it is. And so you never know until you know.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of leaving it out there in soft. Yeah.
Are you allowing it to become something different than what you had imagined it was going to be?
Yeah.
Because it is.
It always, as you know, it always changes. I'm excited for you to see it, for
I
both
can't
of
wait.
You to see it. Sean's in it as well. And Sean's great.
So he's still in it. You're saying
still in it? Yeah, okay. As of this morning.
Okay.
But I'm excited for you guys to get your thoughts.
I can't wait.
Hear your thoughts on it and stuff, too.
That'll
be forthcoming. But
what else
are
you excited about? Our guest today.
I was just answering the question. Sean, are you in a rush?
Yeah, he's got a dinner.
Are your knickers in a twist?
Yeah, are you keeping the palace waiting?
By the way, we're so lucky. We're so lucky because now we get to get to our guest, which is going to be just he's a palate cleanser in every way. This guy is he's done everything, and he's one of those guys who classically trained, Juilliard trained, he's done everything from Broadway to like indies to like you know, cool plays to the biggest of biggest of biggest of hits. He's like just a bona fide movie star. I've had the pleasure of getting to know him a little bit over the last couple of years because we've worked together on a project together, me in a producing role, but him as the star of. He's incredible. You guys know him from all his performances. The second I start to name it, Sean's going to go, I know who it is. He's been in a gazillion Marvel movies, and within the Marvelverse, he then graduated and became a sort of a different character altogether. You know him as Captain America. I know him as Anthony Mackie.
No way!
Whoa, Anthony Mackie, good morning.
Thank you. I have so much to say about those first 10 minutes.
Okay, good.
I was like, I wanted to see which one of y'all was going to talk about who had the most Teslas in their driveway.
That'd be Jason.
Well,
Jason.
I've never owned one.
Jason's
trying to get it away from my wife, but she won't.
Anthony, by the way, you should know that Jason's glass house is so, the glass is so fragile up. He's in his guest house overlooking his screen house, overlooking his main house right now. Okay. Anyway, Anthony Mackie, dude, thank you. Thank you for being here. Welcome to Smartless. It's so great to have you.
Yeah, it's so nice to meet you.
Nah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
Where do we find you? Are you at home?
No, I'm in Budapest right now. And I'll tell you what. A black man in Budapest for the summer is, I mean, goddamn. It's like I found my people. I don't know. I don't know. It's like they shot me out of a rocket and landed me. Like I did something right in my life. You know what I mean? They're like, you get to go to Budapest for the summer. You know?
Really?
What do you mean? What do you mean? They just love you there. Well, everybody loves you everywhere.
No, it's different here. Like, everybody's nice. Like, the food is good. The city's beautiful and historic. You know, there's a dirty river. Like, just everything you want. You know, every day is sunny. The Budapestians are fucking great people. I love
them. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff that's shooting there lately, huh? Like, what are you doing there? Can you say?
I'm doing a show for Apple, nobody will see it, called 12-12-12.
12-12-12. Gotcha.
Apple's huge. People will see it.
Yeah, come on.
No, Formula great, One, man. Like it's this F1 thing, it's making a lot of money.
Yeah. Apple's great. I'm excited. It's my first time, well, my second time on Apple because I did the first movie on Apple, actually, The Banker. And this is my first time back. So they've been great, man. It's been wonderful. They gave me the opportunity to come to Budapest for the summer. Amazing.
And so how is it? Is it a bunch of episodes? So you're there for a while?
It's 8 episodes. It's me and Jamie Dornan. So this is our second time working together. I'm like, you know, it's we're, and Kari, who directed Falcon Winter Soldier, is directing it.
Oh, cool.
So it's a pretty good group. Great scripts, like great stories. You know, it's a good time. And it's in Budapest for the
summer. Like it's big. It sounds like it's there's huge. a lot of action. Fucking, and,
you know who you're talking to?
It's huge. Yeah.
Okay, you're not the only one. I mean, it's huge, buddy. We're doing well here. You know?
No, I mean, it's action and it's stunts and it's a muscular project, yes?
It's a lot of testosterone. Some might call it toxic, but I don't give a
ballsy rate. Ballsy. Okay. So how long are you there? If you're doing 8 episodes, you're there for 5 months?
5 months between here and London. And it is London. When I come to London in 2 weeks, I'm coming to see your show too.
I'll be there.
Should I wear like my Liza Minnelli shit? Like
sure,
my,
yeah, because I'm gay.
Shit?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Tommy Tune stuff works too.
We're not going to be open in 2 weeks. You come back in July.
Yeah. That's okay, 2 weeks is in July.
Oh, well, end of July, July 31st.
Well, oh, basically, shit. You've been
August.
Oh,
so you go back and forth. You guys shoot stuff in England. You shoot stuff in Hungary, back and forth.
No, I'm shooting Avengers in England, and I'm shooting this in Hungary.
Okay, gotcha.
Wait a second. So you're going back and forth to London. You're doing Avengers. Sean, hold your questions. Sean is a massive,
I'm a big fan.
Avengers Marvel. Do you, and you're working with, you have the misfortune of working with Downey. I'm sure over there with
Jesus
Robert.
Christ.
I mean,
yeah.
So how do you sorry. Do it?
What how a drag. Right.
Hey, he serves up a great lunch, man. I mean, everybody's healthy. You know, it's really good. We drink his bottled chill brew. It's a good time. It's a good time. It's a good time.
So, Anthony, what with all this time away from home, what's the main thing you find yourself missing? I ask because it's on my mind. I just had my daughter call me from she's on a trip to actually also to Europe on some sort of camp thing, and she's feeling really homesick. But so, what are you missing most about home right now?
Yeah.
I hate to say this because it fits in y'all's conversation earlier, but I miss my cars, man.
I miss driving when I'm away from home.
I just want to, I'm a very, very like home-strucken dude. So literally I'll go, after going to the gym, I'll get a po' boy and an ice cold beer, sit in the garage and work on my cars all day.
Wait, so after the gym, you find a real fatty, carbohydrate-ridden snack and some puffy-making beer.
Sorry, Jason's one of those guys who doesn't eat pizza, by the way.
Well, exactly.
But I came out with a big fat face. I got to like spend every minute of every
day
trying
to... But that's the whole point of going to the gym, man. You go to the gym and you're like, then you go get a po' boy.
Exactly. I exercise so that I can be a little bit bad. I don't exercise.
You look great, man. You look
Anthony,
like you're,
I love you.
You look like you have one of those Pelotons. You know what? You look like you do Pilates is what it is.
How dare you? So you miss driving. You miss your cars. Where's home, L.A.?
You do have like a Pilates, not your body, but your temperament and like the way that you are in the world. You seem like a Pilates person.
I tell you what, I am hearing that that's what I need to make a friend of. Is Pilates.
Pilates, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stretching.
It's got all the stretching of yoga, but it's got some core strengthening, like muscle building stuff. Anyway,
I digress. I heard it gives you outstanding sexual stamina.
Wait, what?
Well, he doesn't need
That's what I heard, dude. I heard a friend of mine started doing Pilates.
I could use
Pilates
a little bump in that as well. Thank you. Just maybe another 20, 30 seconds would be incredible.
Wow. Wait, Anthony, speaking of relationships,
I love this segment.
I'm just waiting for you to get your first fucking question. All my clothes are off. Go ahead.
Wait, I love it. I love it, JB. I'm telling you, I love it. I'm having fun. It's fun.
Do you notice that, Sean? He brings on a guest, and he just sits back. He basically introduces them, and then he's like, okay.
Not at all. We're having a conversation. We're having a conversation. And
we've covered a lot of shit. This is going really well.
This is going very well. How dare you?
Move on to the taint exercises.
Just to make JB feel better. Anthony, how'd you get your start in show business?
Which I really do want to know.
By the way, JB, you will be jealous. Let's talk a little bit for a second, because and Anthony, I've asked you about this in person too. Like, you went to Juilliard, which is so rad. It's like the gold standard. Yes, I mean, that must have been. Talk a little bit about like getting into Juilliard, and was it like a dream come true, or were you like, yeah, big?
Did you ever cross paths with Laura Linney there? I think she's a big wig over there.
I never saw Laura Linney. She was never there when I was there. Patti LuPone's there all the time, which was amazing. But it all started in New Orleans. I mean, I went to this school called New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, which is pretty much like FAME, but in New Orleans. And I just loved it. Like, it was amazing. It taught me everything. And I got to New Orleans is a very segregated city. So getting to meet and see people from the other side of the city was mind-blowing how different it was, you know, on the other side of the track. So it forced me to want to get out of New Orleans. So I went to boarding school in North Carolina, at North Carolina School of the Arts. And I consider that to be my year of time. Like, everybody's been arrested. My year of jail time was in Winston-Salem,
North
Carolina.
Oh, really? Why? Why was it?
Have you ever been to Winston-Salem?
No.
Dude, is it really bad? Winston-Salem in 1996 was some shit. You hear me?
Oh, really?
So I made it out. I did my bid. I got out. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the man couldn't hold me down forever. So I moved up to New York and, you know, auditioned and got into Juilliard from North Carolina.
Wow.
And moved to New York when I was 18. And It was crazy.
Wait, so Anthony, you grow up in New Orleans. You were born and raised there?
Yeah, born and raised, yeah. Samuel Boscoville Hardhead.
It's, so then your first real exposure to, as you say, the other side of the tracks was going to this really cool art school where you got to see some folks that are from a different socioeconomic background, and they're coming to see some of the productions and stuff like that. And the seed gets planted to be an artist, an actor. Yeah. And, and you say, okay, I'm not bad at this. You're getting some nice accolades. You think you can take on more?
Not at all. It was something I was probably the worst actor at my school, but
really
it kept my interest, you know, you know, the idea of being in a room with different types of people and doing different types of shit. It was almost like every day was summer camp. Like, I look forward to going there every day, because you would go there half a day and then regular school half a day. And it was just like a bunch of people in a room that I like identify with, people that I got along with. And, you know, it was a school that was half dancers. So we had all these smoking chicks in a dance program.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, fuck. Like, I just showed I have a 16-year-old son. I showed him my yearbook from high school. And he was like, yo, those are the girls? And I'm like, this is what girls looked like when I was in school. Fuck you. Like, you got it good. Yeah.
And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
Was it a common thing for the folks where you grew up to like go into the arts, become an actor, go to this art school?
Not become an actor. I mean, in New Orleans, you know, every little boy grows up wanting to be a trumpet player. You know, is everybody wants to be a musician. Everybody wants to march in a parade.
Right.
But were your parents musicians or in the arts at all?
No, hell no. No. My daddy worked. My daddy was a roofer, you know? So it was six of us. He had to work. So
oh, fuck. My mom roofing in New Orleans, too. That is not...
Yeah, that's, my mom was a homemaker and my dad was a roofer. So that's awesome. But they always stressed on us education and going to school. So it was very important to them that we did something that fulfilled our dreams and kept us interested.
But also probably they had their eye on practicality too. It sounds like they were not afraid of good hard work and some pleasant predictability about income and providing. Were they sort of... you sure you want to pursue acting or the arts is something that like, how about getting like a quote unquote real job? Was there pressure
not
for you to do that as well?
No, not at all. My dad had one rule, do whatever you want, be the best at it. Just don't go to jail.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
That was it. Like, you can be a damn garbage man. Just be the best garbage man and don't go to jail. That's it. Like growing up in New Orleans in the 80s and 90s, it was such a rough city. It was the murder capital of the world. I mean, they were in a city of, 700,000 people, 400 to 500 people were getting murdered a year.
Per
square capita, we were literally the murder capital of the world.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, it was wildly dangerous in the early 90s.
Do you have brothers and sisters, or were you an only child?
Five of them, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we're all vastly different and very different.
Anybody else going to the arts?
No. My brother, was a singer, but he also played tennis. So all that shit's weird. Right. You know what I mean? Right.
So I mean, that's amazing. So you go and then you go to North Carolina, then you go up, you get into Juilliard, and you go to Juilliard. And I always wondered this. So you graduate Juilliard, you've got a degree from arguably like the premier place to get an acting degree, certainly in the States. And is it like, okay, the day after you graduate, is it like everybody's knocking at your door, or is it just hit the streets and start auditioning like everybody else?
Well, you do this thing called league scenes, and you invite all the agents and all the agencies to come see the graduating class do their monologues.
Like a
and
showcase.
Scenes. Yeah. A showcase, yeah. And everybody comes, and from that, hopefully you'll get an agent or a manager. And I got lucky. I did these, three scenes, and they were fine. It was cool. But what really helped me was when I was in school, we wrote this play about Tupac called Up Against the Wind.
Yes.
And, we all did it. Like, there was a girl, Rosemary, in a directing program, Michael in a writing program, and all of us actors. We all wrote and produced the scene ourselves. I mean, the show ourselves at school. So when we did the show, Jim Nicola from New York Theater Workshop came to see the show and was like, I want to move this off Broadway. It was a big problem at Juilliard because you're not allowed to do outside work while you're a student.
Okay.
And it came
But it was
down,
a gray area because you guys had started it
we
at
started
the school.
It at the school.
Right.
And it was very eye opening because there was a fight between me and the staff if I would do this play off Broadway, which was created at the school, or if I would do the Chekhov play for my final grade of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going back and forth about that, and they were very adamant about not letting me do this play. And then the play caught fire and took off, and all of a sudden, everybody was a supporter. Like, there was a teacher who was interviewed by the New York Times, and true story, this is still in print. She said, usually the black kids just sit around and wait to see who's going to play Othello. But it's great that they created something that they can go and do in the New York theater.
whoa, what?
What does that even mean? Like, what?
Yeah, it means she was a fucking idiot.
I know, like, what? That's like crazy.
Yeah.
What?
It means she was a fucking idiot.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's what it means.
That must have lit a fire under your, like, a little bit to be like, fuck, I'm gonna,
Yeah. And that was my biggest thing, like, coming out of that school. It was really eye-opening for many different reasons, because I went to go see a play, like, every 2 weeks. And right. I saw so much bad theater, but I saw so much good theater.
Yeah.
You know, and so much small theater and innovative and courageous theater. And it really just formed and shaped me. What I saw really formed and shaped me more than what I learned at school.
Yeah.
And now what you find yourself, sorry, Sean, you find yourself at a place of great success with tons of momentum and futures wide open. Did you allow yourself to see yourself at this place at this age? Or are you kind of like, you know, it's a tough question to answer, but are you where you thought you would be? Are you overperforming, underperforming? You've got to be happy. You got to be content.
No, you know, this is a weird business. And, you know, psychologically, it's a huge mind fuck to be a part of this business. Because I never thought I would be here. Like, I never, when I got into this business, I didn't say, oh, I want to be famous or I want to be a movie star. I literally dreamed about being a working actor.
Yeah,
like, I wanted to, you know, work at the Guthrie. I wanted to work at Penumbra. You know,
That's why you've had longevity.
And that was the focus of my career. Like, how can I do these great roles, these great American theater roles in great theaters around the country, you know? And It just so happened, you know, because it sounds like such an asshole story. So when we were doing Up Against the Wind, there was this amazing casting director named Molly Finn, God rest her soul. And she was in New York. She came to see the play, and Curtis Hanson was putting together 8 Mile.
Right.
That's right.
So she came to see the play. I get to audition for Curtis Hanson, and I was always a huge fan of Curtis from L.A. Confidential, from all the shit he had did. Yeah. And my audition, like, it was just funny. I always had a belief, if you get people to directing you and working with you, that's because they're interested in you. If you audition and they go, good job, kid, thanks for coming in, then 9 times out of 10, you ain't getting that job. Mm-hmm. So I walk in, and I meet Curtis, sit down. Curtis was a cool cat, like, love him to death. And I asked him, I said, so at that was right when, like, a year after Wonder Boys had came out. Mm. And I said, Curtis, I have a question for you before we start. He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I was like, Wonder Boys. I'm like, was that meant to be an ode to Alfred Hitchcock? Or were you, like, directing it in a sense towards the ideals and teachings of Hitchcock and the way he worked? So he goes, whoa, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Hmm. So I explained to him what I saw in the movie and, you know, what he did with Tobey Maguire and the backdrops in the scene and the escalating visual aspect that tied into the mental frustration of the character. And we talked for like an hour about Wonder Boys. I never read, never did my audition. No, so I come out and I'm like, fuck. Like,
oops.
I blew my chance.
You know? So I'm like, don't do that again. Don't do that again. So 3 weeks later, he called and he was like, yo, cast somebody else in a role that you came in for, but there's another role. It's only 4 days. I don't want to offend you. I know you're a trained actor, but if you're willing to do it, you know, I'd love to have you in Detroit. So I'm like, hell yeah, it's Curtis Hanson.
Yeah.
So fly to Detroit. And just sit with Curtis Hanson and eat dinner and, like, kick it for, like, 2 weeks. And
just for
the role only was 4 scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, you have anything booked after this? I said, nah. He was like, well, so if I extend your role, you can stay. I'm like, fuck yeah, I can stay. Ain't going nowhere. So they extended my contract to a run of picture. And we developed that role over the course of,
that's really cool.
That's kind of how
that's amazing.
It started.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. You guys kind of built it off a person, like, just like a dialogue that you were having with him about like a shared interest. Like, that's so.
That's what's so funny in the movie, like Eminem has that, you know, rap at the end of the movie where he's like, you went to private school and all that shit. If you go back, like, he's, we had a conversation a week before and we're talking shit. And, you know, M is just an amazing dude and a lovely human being. Once you spend time with him, it's just funny, but he's always learning and hearing and listening. Like, he's like a fucking sponge. So we get to set the next day and he's like, yo, there's no reason why I don't like this dude. Like, yeah, we beefing, but nobody knows about our backstory and our history. So we need to put that in a script. So Curtis was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So it comes the battle scene, right? And I write my rhyme. I'm like, boom, 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 right? We go to set and fucking Eminem starts his rap. And he's like, you went to private school. I was like, I did go to private school. He's like, your parents have a real good marriage. I'm like, my parents do have a real good marriage. You motherfucker, you talking about me?
That's cool. That's cool.
Wow. Now, wait a second. Wait, so was 8 Mile your first movie?
That was my very first movie, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's wow. So
2001,
cool.
Man. That was my first movie.
Nice start.
That was my first job.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's it was your a first massive job. Movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
I
wow,
did.
Good for
I
you.
Did Up Against the Wind off Broadway, and then went into 8 Mile.
Have you been back to theater yet?
Yeah, I did. Well, the last time I did theater was 2016 with Chris Walken and one of the most amazing human beings on earth, Sam Rockwell, and Zoe Kazan.
Oh, we love Sam.
Called Behanding in Spokane.
Oh yeah.
So, and I'll tell you what: if you haven't worked with Chris Walken, just save up some money, produce a play, and fucking do a play with Chris Walken. That yeah. motherfucker's amazing. Like, that yeah. was that was the pinnacle of being able to do theater, to see him on stage every night.
I wow. bet, I bet. That's really cool. What a cool experience. You know, a lot of people say, you know, what acting is the study of human behavior and this human psychology and stuff like that. And you've done so many so many different roles and so many played so many different people. Do you find yourself outside of work kind of getting people's heads or analyzing people's behavior or analyzing the human behavior outside of a role? Like, I find myself doing that probably to a fault sometimes because I'm like, oh, that person acts like that because of A, B, you know what I mean? Do you do that?
Well, no, that's a very interesting perspective and great question because I do that all the time. But yeah. in this generation, like, people are so, like, thwarted with their own insecurities that you can't really ask questions about why they do something or how they think because they instantly go on the defensive because they haven't even thought about why they mm-hmm. do the things they do and why they think the way they do.
Yeah, like, they don't think that deep.
Yeah, and yeah. my thing is, as an actor, it's really interesting to me to try and understand people and the knowledge and the aspect of what happened on the course of your day to make you act or react it the way you did just now.
Right,
you know?
I love that,
and
yeah.
you just ask questions, like, why do you think that way? Or what made you think that? And it's like, oh, yeah. you're just being an asshole. And,
right.
you know, it's,
yeah, because I'll drive Scotty, my husband, crazy. I'll constantly ask him every day, how are you, what are you doing, what are you thinking about, what's going on, you all right? Like, I'm trying to get in there, because he's like, yeah, get out of my face, I'm fine. I'm fine, you know?
Like, and is that I'm right? Like, you're a digger, and he's just like, just let me be quiet.
Yeah, like there's nothing wrong.
And is he really grouchy? Does he seem really grouchy?
No, I just want to know. But he goes, if you keep asking me, that's what I'm going to get upset.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like great over
match
and over.
He sounds like a great match for me. You ever get yeah. tired of Scotty, you send him over to me. We'll be quiet in the car yeah. together.
We'll be so quiet. Just yeah. sit over there and
but I didn't know, Anthony, if you're like that, Anthony, where anything like me, where like if it's in a relationship, whether it's a friend or a coworker or a romantic relationship, whatever it is, I just sometimes overanalyze people to death and they're just like, okay, stop talking.
Yeah, I try to, and I just ask questions and give them space to breathe and just see what comes out of that. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
for some reason, people take that as you being an asshole and they get
right.
upset with you because you try and understand them and they've never tried to understand themselves.
Right.
You know,
right.
and the more I understand you, the easier and better this relationship will work out. Like, I was
right.
having a conversation the other day and my boy was like, you know, you need to come to LA and go to the parties and meet these directors so people can see you. And I'm like, yo, after 25 years, if I gotta go to a party at like so-and-so's house for you to want to work with me, then fuck you, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
been in this game long enough to where, like, yeah, you true. Know the people that, like, are doing it in the way they yeah. doing it.
What's
you
this know game what I mean? Now? What is this
now,
new game?
Now, all of a sudden, yeah. I got to come to parties and do yeah. blow off of Jason's dick for
yeah,
us.
Exactly.
And, like,
Jason,
do a movie
yeah, leave that up
you.
To me. Yeah,
but it was exactly. a nice short line, though, wasn't it?
Jason, stop putting blow on your dick.
Well, it's mostly just bumps. I can't no. really fit a line on there. It's just little upgrades.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll hear funny. I texted this to JB twice this week in the same day. Two people came up to me and go like, hey, I know your buddy Jason. I used to party with him back in the day. I used to live in Venice and this other guy. I worked with him on a thing and I texted JB and JB goes, yeah, I put a lot of people into rehab.
Bye.
They spent a week with Jason in 1995 and they were screwed.
They were done.
They were done. Wait, so you do, Sean brought up, I mean, you've done, I mean, you've just done countless movies and you've done so many different
so
kinds of
many
characters.
Different parts,
I know, so
yeah.
many. And you're amazing. Off-Broadway, you, obviously, we mentioned Juilliard, and you did all this stuff. And then, you were in Hurt Locker. Like, you've been in all these, like, you know, celebrated
Amazing.
Films. And then you get asked to become part of the MCU.
Yeah.
And what was that process
That's the Marvel
like?
Cinematic Universe, Tracy.
She knows that. That's one we don't need to explain.
I don't know. Is Tracy a big Marvel fan? Just doesn't strike
Sean's,
me.
Sean's sister, sorry, Anthony.
She really
is
likes
crazy.
Rom-coms.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So,
yeah. Okay.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
What was that call? Like, what was that conversation? And were you, yeah. like, yes, or were you like, skeptical?
Was the first one, to Will's question, was the first
Winter
one Winter Soldier?
Soldier,
was that
yeah,
the first one?
That was the
yeah,
first.
Because I saw you in the, I love that movie, by the way. I love that movie.
I know.
Yeah. And I love all of them, but I mean, like, when I saw you, I was like, what the, this guy's incredible. Like, what an unbelievable addition with the fucking, I mean, it's the costume,
what
the
were your
character.
Favorite parts? You know, the wings.
So how did that roll out? How did that roll out?
No, yeah,
out?
But how did it feel to get the call and like what, and oh my God, and what was it like?
You know, it came together like a, yeah. you know, it was like a
well, because it was
piece.
A what? And, oh my God. And my, tell us what.
Yeah, because I can't imagine.
No, I know. Tell us some more.
No, I just can't imagine getting a call like that.
If Scotty knew Sean was about to get the call, he'd put a diaper on him first.
Like a little baby chimp about to get his first taste of ice cream. Fucking what?
Running around this townhouse with no elevator.
Just doing zoomies. Zoomies on the floor.
Stuck in the elevator with a belly full
stuck
of sand.
In the elevator.
and a diaper full of
no, but that
ice
must
cream.
Have been a cool that must have been a pretty cool day. Like, hey, you want to come and join the fucking biggest thing in the cinematic world?
It's really funny.
No, it was. It was a really cool call to get. You know, but the problem was...
But it wasn't Chekhov at the Lincoln Center. So it was like you had to
yeah.
think, okay, can I bear this and still pursue that? Right? Like there's a strategic career gross sort of conversation you have to have with yourself and your team perhaps at times
yeah,
when you get opportunity, right?
But that script was phenomenal, I'm sure. Like it's not like, you know what I mean?
Well, but that's the problem with Marvel. You don't know. You don't get to read the script. You don't get to know anything. Like I had a meeting with the Russo brothers and...
They're wonderful!
Two brothers from Cleveland!
But with a great Italian heritage! These two guys! This is our boys really
we
getting...
We love Arrested Development!
Okay. Anyway.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
So the Russos call. We know Joe and Anthony real well. Right. JB and I do. And so they call you and they're like, just say yes or no, sight unseen.
Pretty much. We meet. It was like the most LA shit I've ever experienced. We go to this hotel and it's like all like art stucco in a swimming pool in the middle, and it's like all these ladies, these old ladies with like their lobster titties laying out by the pool. And, you know, we ordered lunch and they're just like fucking cooking. And Nate Moore lobster and titty. I were like the only two black dudes in the whole hotel. Like it was some LA Beverly Hills shit. Uh-huh. Everybody has their shades on.
Sure.
So, you know, Joe Russo, he's the talker, you know.
Yeah.
So Joe goes, look, Anthony, we have a script. We have an idea. You know, we have a character and we'd like you to play it. Is that something you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, like, can I read it? He went, no.
Wow.
Can I know the character? No.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know who I was playing.
No way.
Until...
So what made you want? Yeah. What made you want to say? Yeah.
Joe's magnetism.
Because I knew being in the MCU would like do for my career the same thing, you know, being nominated for an Oscar award.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
You know,
sure.
Because at the end of the day, if you go up to, and I always do this with my friends, at the end of the day, if you go up to the average person and ask them who won Best Actor last year.
No,
they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's
not even
us.
The average person. Ask any of us who won Best Actor last year.
Who won Best Actor?
Oh, I can't
have no idea.
Adrian Brody.
I can't tell you what.
Adrian Brody.
Go up to the average person and ask them who, average person our age, ask them who, you know, who was, who played Rocky or, you know, who did this. So they'll always have those iconic characters and moments in their mind as opposed to an award push for you to get a statue.
Sure.
Right, right.
So in that respect, it's a no-brainer. It's like I said, it's like, hey, we're running the biggest deal in the game right now. Do you want to jump on this train? We're going this way. And you're like, I kind of want to go that way.
Hell yeah.
But then you let your eyes, drift over to Anthony Russo and you're like, well, hang on a second. this guy has not stopped staring at me, hasn't said a fucking word.
Not a word. He just stares at you the whole time.
And I want to know what the deal is.
Anthony's going to be a stone cold psycho with you, right? while Joe's talking, eating a sandwich.
He's trying to distract you with the shiny penny over here. Don't look at my brother.
I always find it fun when Joe takes the time out from playing fantasy football to actually have a conversation with you. That part's
to
fun.
To stop looking at his phone to actually look at you and talk to you for 1 second. You feel like the most special person. He's like the talented Mr. Ripley. He's like, so how's it going? You know?
And his phone.
So what happens? So then at what stage of that whole thing do you finally kind of get keyed in on who your character is, like what his name is, what he is, where he lives, and then actually reading a script, et cetera, et cetera. Like how far down the road is that?
Right before I got on a plane to go to Cleveland, because we shot that in Cleveland, mostly in Cleveland, some stuff in Atlanta. But I didn't have anything. I was just like Marvel. I loved the movies. I'd always wanted to be in the movie since the first Iron Man. I'm like, I'm down. I didn't know what the movie was. I just thought, because I had been approaching them. I had my team approach them a long time before about the idea of playing Black Panther. Like growing up, Black Panther was one of my favorite comic books because my oldest brother read all the comic books. That was like Luke Cage and Black Panther were my two favorite comic icons, along with Superman, but they were my two favorite black dudes. And we had always gone after and circled the idea of at some point in time they have to do Black Panther. Like, you know, call them, email them, text them.
Right.
I write letters to Kevin Feige, fuck you, Black Panther, right?
And right.
So I thought when they hit me up, they were like, you know, would you play this role? I'm like, of course it's Black Panther.
Right.
But then when I got the script, I realized it was Sam Wilson. And once I started reading the history and the background about Sam Wilson, I realized the importance of him in the MCU, like what Stan Lee intended for him to be and what he created him for was really amazing and really profound and really spoke to the idea of the perspective of the Black American in America at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was, being a part of the Airborne was strategic. You know, him being ex-military was strategic. Him being a hustler from Harlem was strategic. All of those things were put in there to socialize and emulate what Black culture was at that time in America. So as Black culture evolved, so did Sam Wilson in the MCU.
So you do that, so you get there, you appreciate that, and you start getting into that, and then you eventually, and you make, I don't know how many movies you're, like, you were in, obviously.
Seven. Yeah. Now, this will be my 10th and 11th.
10th?
I mean, how about, 11th. Hey, Russos, hey, how about just a brief cameo?
I know.
That's all we're looking for.
Jason and I know them. They directed the pilot of Arrested Development. Yeah, you want to just call us and say,
not even a text.
These are two of the oldest. We've known Joe and Anthony about as long as anybody in town.
Would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, who knows those guys longer in town than us?
Anthony is the end. Do not text Joe. That text will be lost.
It's unbelievable.
Just a couple of nice seats for a premiere would be great.
Yeah, that'd be. even just a discount at Regal Cinemas I'd take that at this point. You know what I mean? But so you do. So this is your 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. And then when was it that you made the transit when you became Captain America?
Because
that's a pretty,
yeah,
that sort of mantle was handed over. When was that?
That was at the end of Endgame, which was weird because that's when, you know, all the shit changed. Like, that's when, you know, Disney bought Marvel and Disney Plus became a thing. And after Endgame was when everything turned into this idea of Marvel and Marvel streaming and Marvel TV and all these different entities under the Disney umbrella. Mm-hmm. So because of that, which I was very happy about, because you could put so much in an eight-part series as opposed to an hour and 45-minute movie. The Falcon Winter Soldier show was more so about the idea of Sam Wilson becoming Captain America
and leaving all
the other shit behind. So that's what I did after Endgame. Because nobody knew, like on Endgame, I didn't know I was going to fucking be Captain America. Nobody knew that shit. Like, right. I found that out the day we were on set. I didn't know about that. But that Sunday, we were at Chris's house watching football. And I found out at Chris's house that Monday morning we were shooting a scene where I became Captain America, because he had got those pages Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Wow. You guys don't even get a script when you start a project. Wow.
No, you get a script, but as soon as you get the script, you put it down, and every day you get pages.
Oof. Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, you better read these pages, because we're about to change the trajectory of your
life.
Character, your life, your career. Like, right? Like, just...
Wait, so, like, is there like a group of, like, super dorks that are sitting around a table and figuring out how all of these different characters
that's
intertwine
what I wanna know.
And, like, is there, like,
what do you mean that's
year,
what you want to know? Look in the mirror, Sean.
A one-year plan, five-year plan, 10-year plan for how all these characters slowly get closer to one another and cross-pollinate, and like, where's the think tank on all this stuff? I want.
Well, that's the.
And when does Mickey Mouse come into all of this stuff?
the idea is the scope of it all. The original plan was the first cycle, the first 10 movies, to have that arc all the way to Endgame. And then, you know, all the other phases after that, they just build it out phase by phase. So you have the beginning, the middle, and the end of the phase, and how that.
I wouldn't even know where to start. Start at Iron Man, and like that would, if I just started there, I'd start to get. You could do the Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, and then where do you move to?
Well, see, this is the problem, all right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to watch all the movies. Like, I don't think some of the movies, like the Thor movies, don't really, like, translate into the universe.
But there's probably some useful information there that affects other stuff,
really,
right?
Not really, because that's Thor's own thing. Like, that shit is so far out, like, it's so different, because he's a god. Like, that shit, when you see Thor come into the MCU, you never see anybody go to his universe.
Right, right.
So Spider-Man wasn't around because Spider-Man was owned by Sony, and Spider-Man came into the world on Civil War. So you don't need to watch any 17 incarnations of Spider-Man.
Got it.
So the movies you really need to watch are the Iron Man movies and the Captain America movies. Those are the ones that give you the
through line.
The through line.
And that'll get me to Avengers?
So Captain America, the first Avenger, and all the Iron Man and Captain America movies will get you to Endgame.
JB, I think we need to do, you and I need to do an MCU film fest in your new theater. And
we'll I would, please, when are you home?
Well, I'm sure one of y'all got a movie theater in y'all house.
Yeah. No, Jason does.
I'm sure all three Jason of you does. Have movie theaters in
your house. I do not.
Jason does. Jason it's not does. In his house. It's its own building. Now, listen. So it literally has a different address.
Hey, Hampton, next question.
So you do all that stuff. You do, and now you're, and then you're, I don't know how you find the time to do all this other stuff. Not to mention the fact that we've got Twisted Metal Season 2, which is premieres end of July. Yeah.
This is
July
the thing you're producing, Willie?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Peacock. So that's end of July. Season 2 comes out on that, which is a huge hit for Peacock. So that's coming out. You're promoting that. Second season, super fun. Anthony's so good. If you haven't seen it, Anthony is so good in it. It's so funny.
It's a good time. It's a good time. It's fun.
You're a band member in a hard metal band? Is that
no, but not a bad pitch.
No, Dad.
We're like on the road with you. It's like stuff in the bus.
And no, Dad. No?
Fucking, he's too busy listening to Yacht Rock to watch our fucking show.
Yeah, totally.
No, it's a post-apocalyptic world. No,
it's basically based on a video game, man. Yeah, right. Video game Twisted Metal, which was big in the 80s and 90s. 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. We got the property and built out this world behind the lead character, John Doe. And, you know, it's the post-apocalypse and the world is basically falling apart. But you see John Doe and the rest of the characters trying to maneuver through it and figure out how to get inside what is now the real world, which are these walled-in cities all over the world where society and reality still exist instead of the war zone that's outside the walls.
Okay. But, Anthony, you know, there's so many projects that you're... I know.
It's
mind-blowing.
Yeah,
like, do you...
By the way, it would be like...
When do you go to the market?
Anthony, do you remember, like, we would have meetings when we were first working on Twisted Metal. We had a couple, like, development meetings or something, and, like, I'd be like, Anthony, where are you? And he's like, I'm in Saudi Arabia. I'm on a boat. He literally is like, I'm on a boat in Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
All right, so then this prompts the obvious question. Let's talk about domestic life.
Yeah.
Do we have a family that we're trying to navigate through all this? Or are you just a rockin' single and you just can take your show on the road?
No, the one thing I realize is I'm a firm believer that I think, like, I love to work.
Yeah, clearly.
I feel like me working is my happiness.
I'm with you.
You know, I love to stay busy. It's like, that's just my joy. And, you know, sadly to say that most of the times when you're gone for 4 and 5 months at a time, relationships don't really fit into that. And all of my free time and all of my empty brain space goes to my kids. You know, it's like I have four sons and, you know, four little boys, dude, like they are so interesting and different and manipulative and just little assholes at the same time. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to, like, every free moment I have is a moment to fall in love with my boys.
Yeah.
I don't really have space.
Are they able to come with you on some of these things?
Well, they do.
They'll come out
and visit, but the problem is I have to remember that they have their own lives.
Exactly.
Now I'm in Budapest, and my boys have worked all school year for 2.5 months of summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So do I say, fuck your camps, fuck your friends, fuck your fun, you come to Budapest and sit in this hotel room while I'm at work.
Oh, right. Can't even see them.
Yeah. And I get to see you right before you go to bed.
Yeah, same exact problem.
That would be, I would hate that, you know?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's a,
you know.
Well, what hotel? That? Which hotel?
Depends. The Budapest yeah. Hotel.
Yo, my boys, they love a good room service, boy. They Them chicken wings are. The chicken tenders?
And craft service? I bet you Marvel puts up a nice craft service on set, too. Good snacks?
Yo. Our crafty is crazy, I'll bet. I'll tell you.
And then you can
I'll
go over to Downey's camp, too, and get a little something
and then
extra.
It's crazier. Uh-huh. But, like, one day, I snuck over.
Well, you go get your fiber in Downey's camp.
Oh, sure. If you're gluten intolerant, you just step over there.
So, when he had the pizza truck, I went up to his security. Security's a real cool guy. And I was like, look, man. I went over to the pizza truck, and all them was sitting in there talking. I'm like, I don't want to sit in there and talk to them motherfuckers. I want to make pizza. Right. So I go over with the pizza guys and start making pizza on the truck, right? So I make this dope, delicious, I mean, chef's kiss pizza, mm-hmm. right? So I cut a piece off, and I go over to Downey's security guard, and I'm like, yo, man, here's a slice of pizza. Like, I know you've had a long day, so I just wanted to introduce myself. We haven't met. My name's Anthony. It's so great to meet you. He's like, oh, nice to meet you. So 2 days later, I'm like, I want to sneak in Robert's fucking base camp.
And he's like, who the fuck
air
are you?
Conditioning it.
You got an ID or something?
I go in my trailer. I don't have ice. I'm like, I know who has fucking ice, right? So I sneak over to Robert's base camp. I go to the security guard. I was like, yo, what's up, man? He's like, Anthony, how's it going? He's like, that was a great pizza. Thanks. I was like, hey, you mind if I go in right quick? He's like, no, go right ahead. I stole all his fucking ice.
Yeah.
That's how it works, kid. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
That's right. It's who you know. It's who you know.
Oh. It's who you know. There's no little man on this pole.
Well, listen, man, we've taken up too much of your time. You're over there. You're working. You're having a good time. You're probably on your weekend, and we're
eating
into it.
Yeah, that's really nice of you.
Anthony, it's always awesome to talk to you. You're, again, like, you're the busiest dude I know. You're such a super talented dude.
So impressive.
And if you haven't seen Twisted Metal, please see Twisted Metal Season 2 on July 31st on Peacock. Like I said, Anthony's amazing in it. And then your new show coming out next year on Apple. Which 12-12-12, which is going to be amazing, and more Avengers and more all of it. And dude, Anthony,
keep it coming. We love it.
Yeah, keep it coming. Continued success, dude. You're a great
dude. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Sean, I'm going to come check you when I get back
to
London.
Your mind will be
blown. I love it. I love it. Thank you. I love it.
I feel like you like April Spritz and shit. So we can have like an April Spritz or something.
I'll have it. I'll have anything with a Spritz in it. I'm in. I would love that, Anthony. It'd be great to see you too. So come on down. I would love it. I'd be so honored.
Definitely, will do.
Great to see you.
Awesome.
Anthony.
Thank you. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, pal.
See you.
See
you, buddy. Oh, Sean. Hey, Sean. Great job. Great job. I don't know.
You know,
Sean's been working with an interview tutor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's subtle, but it's much better.
Thank you. I mean, I'm billing her three ways. So
how could he? He's the only nominated interviewer that we've got.
There's always room to improve, he said to me in a text. Were you not on that? Yeah.
No. How great is Anthony, right?
Yeah,
he's great.
Really, I've never met him, seen an interview with him, and was awesome.
Yeah, he's really cool.
He's such a great dude, and he's, when you look at his credits,
it's unbelievably
impressive. Not just the volume, but all the different kinds of characters he's played.
I'd love to see him on stage too. I bet he's a beast.
Incredible on stage, and you see that, like, you see, remember he said early on, he was like, well, you know, you want to come out, you want to do too many different things because you don't want people to think you're all over the place. I'm like, dude,
mission accomplished.
He's covered every corner.
Yeah, I know, and he's got like 17 things coming out soon.
I know.
It's like,
there was one year I think where he had like 8 movies in theaters at the same time.
Are you kidding
crazy.
Me?
No.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the promotional work on that must have been a nightmare.
That's the first thing you think.
All the stories you've got to come up with.
Oh God.
No, how about this
anecdote?
You
immediately think about the junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first thing you think of. You have to think of so many different ways on that junket to say.
Like what?
Good.
Work on it a little bit more. Come back to us, Will.
That was just a straight up. Oh, you got another one?
Yeah. Well,
you know what you got to do next time you're trapped in the elevator? Think of some goodbyes.
Yeah.
And just put a chalkboard in there. You know what I mean?
Is there a new dad joke you've got for us today? Yeah, we haven't had a dad joke today. I'd really like one.
I did have. Did I do the? Did I do the? What did the pirate say when he turned 80? Did I do that one already?
No.
What did the pirate say when he turned 80?
Well, what?
Hi, matey.
That really got him.
I just love them so much, but I love them coming out of Sean's face.
I know,
you know, because he's just like I'm half laughing already when I'm around him. He puts a grin on my face.
What did the pirate say after they plundered the other boat?
What? Bye,
matey.
Oh, it's so fun hanging out with you guys.
Jesus.
Bye, gang.
Smart. Less. Smart. Less.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbago.
Smart. Less.